Okay, so we'll begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, August 22nd, 2011, and it's a little after 6 p.m. I'd like you to take a look at the August 8th meeting minutes. Please take a moment to review those, and let me know if you need to approve.
I'm good with these.
Dan, you're good?
Yeah.
Okay, then we number two on the agenda, we have creation of a district finance advisory committee. We're going to push that to the last item so that we make sure that we allow enough time. So what I'm going to do, actually, is I'm going to just show you some slides of what the Headley Courtyard looks like. We finished it last Wednesday, Thursday, and except for a few punch list items, it's finished. So we were able to bring it in on time, and I'll tell you what, about a week ago, I was not as confident or not feeling as confident as I am today. So let's just take a look at a few of the slides. These are all aerial shots. These are all from the rooftop. So this would be the library right here. Okay. Another shot from the library. This area here, I haven't had time, but we need to order some furniture for that area, and I'll take care of that, probably some benches and things of that nature for the kids and staff to enjoy. And then there's another little seated area here. This actually comes out of the side by the teacher's lounge, where we can put some additional furniture. These are the stepping stones and round circular areas. There's two of these in the courtyard itself. There's a circular here, and over here in the babbling brook that we created there. This is the little auditorium or presentation area. These are the areas kids can sit along here, here, and here. So there's probably enough there for a good 30, 35 kids to sit there and observe or participate, whatever the case may be. These are side doors along the long hallway, along the it's a hallway that runs along the main corridor of Hadley. It runs out in an east-west direction. Again, another shot here. It's all been nicely landscaped. That's all been completed. Again, just some additional shots here. Again, by the library, running along the main corridor. And this is all cycled and refiltered through there. The water, there's a pump that takes the water from here, filters it, and ends up back up in this area here, and it all flows back down. It really is nice.
That's something that the science department wanted.
That's what they requested, yeah. And
do some pond study, depending on what they get in there.
So this should turn into a koi pond.
Mm-hmm. That was mentioned somewhere. I believe that the message board. And I'm trying to give you a few. This is a nice shot here. Kind of incorporates everything.
Bobby did a really nice job taking pictures.
Julia won't do it.
Oh, you tell me.
Now, we've done all of the water, the stormwater issues that the city require, the village required when we did this, right?
Yeah, everything they asked
for. So they should be thrilled that we...
Yeah, everything they asked for, we got. We incorporated. So that's what it looks like. I'll tell you that they had Phyllis, you were working over there, I think, last Tuesday for Hadley's sign-up. The kids and the parents that happened to walk through that area seemed to be very happy with the way it turned out. I sensed a genuine sense of excitement that this will be available for them. I know I've had people ask, maybe joking around a bit, but where do we sign up? How do we get out there? How do we register our kids to be able to get out in that area?
I just ran past it when I went home from the water skating.
Uh-huh.
And just poked my head in it. It's like, it was very nice.
We're still in the back area open at that time.
Yeah, it's very, very nice.
Well, and Julie, did you want to mention about the student survey at Hadley?
The among the 10 least
satisfied questions for the Hadley kids with satisfaction with the outdoor space at school. So, we'll address that.
Well, they should be. I mean, this is above and beyond. It's very nice.
They really did a great job. Very happy with the way it came out.
I love the rustic look of it. You know,
yeah.
It's got a strong outdoor feel with the big boulders and.
They did a great job. The gentleman that created that pond for us did a great job. That was one of the bid specs that were written into those that we had to use. This gentleman here who creates these ponds.
You mean the moat?
Fabulous.
Huh? The moat.
You mean the moat?
Yeah. It's almost like that. But he really did a great job out there. Very happy with the way it looks. So I thought we would just, we're done actually kind of taking a look through this. We'll get a reconciliation when all the final bills come in. This project is not going to come in over budget. It will come in on time and under budget. How much under budget? I don't know. It was a $200,000 project. But when all the final bills come in October or November, I'll give a presentation to the Finance Committee for the pond and all the summer capital projects that we
can. Would it make sense to have a business after hours and invite people to see that?
I mean, you could. You can't have alcohol. I can't have alcohol.
We
right.
talked about doing an open house.
Yeah, I think an open house would be very nice.
From a chamber standpoint, you know, they have these business after hours. I think we can have that without alcohol. Have some treats and some soda.
It really looks nice at night when it's all lit up because we finished the
lighting. Let's get some bang for the buck. You know what? We've done this. Let's get some credit. You know, from the community for putting such a nice space out there.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. Park district, or is this already included in our previous
agreement? We don't have any agreements with the use of the courtyard with the park district.
I would just assume they stay out of there. You know, since we're on capital projects, I'll just give you a brief overview of all the projects that were done in the buildings. We finished up the painting at Lincoln probably just about 7 days ago. All the paving and landscaping work and concrete work, that's been taken care of at Lincoln. Just last Friday, they finished the interior tile work that we were doing in Franklin, and they finished the front facade along Bryan Street of Franklin. That was completed. There's still a little bit of tidying up to do over there. I think there's some caulking and so forth. But, I mean, the major portion of the work has been completed. Hadley, I guess we really didn't have much there except for the courtyard. We had the back parking lot or back drive area for Franklin, along with the concrete work. Excuse me, yes, at Franklin, that was all completed. Forest Glen is done. The little parking lot. We did all the seal coating and striping. We'll be doing some more this year, but we really needed to get caught up with that because it had been several years since the district committed to seal coating and restriping. So, all in all, this is a pretty good summer. We got all our projects done on time, and I would expect to take them under budget. And next another month or so, we'll be time to start talking about next summer. Yeah. So, any questions on what we've shown so far?
Have the koi fish been ahead?
Well, I read a little center.
I read it. It has to be true.
I was going to leave it up to you to respond to that.
Or somebody else could respond to it. Yeah.
Okay. Then what we're going to do is we'll move on to the FGM contract renewal. That will be the first item for discussion this evening. As you know, FGM has been the architect of record for a number of years. They've done a number of projects, 10-year life safety, all of our summer capital projects. They did the Hadley Special Education Edition. They participated in the master facility plan study that we put together. This proposal here is for the 22nd Amendment to the original master agreement. And I'm just going to talk briefly about project numbers that are associated with this agreement. 0.01, if we do decide to move forward, that will be for the Hadley Parking Lot Stormwater Project. 0.02 is just general assistance with capital projects that we may bring forward for next year. 0.03 are just for general services that they may provide in terms of consultation, expert advice, whatever we may request, whether it be master facility planning or projects or whatever, comes under that. That
actually, quick question.
Yes, sir.
02 and 03, you don't have specific numbers.
Because we haven't identified what those projects are, I can't give you a number until we identify the project.
I understand. I'm just looking at the budget number of 135. If I add these other numbers up, it's roughly $10,000. It's 110. So, historically, for these things, do you think another 25 would cover those things?
Well, if we were to move forward with the Hadley project, that would be sort of our a huge commitment for us to make for next year's capital projects, and I think that's probably where we need to focus the majority of our dollars. I try to create a project, sort of a major project a year. This would be the year, and we're not on this item yet, but it would be the year to take care of the Hadley parking lot and stormwater issues over there next year and the year after and the next several years. We may be moving with one or two more parking lots, but primarily I see large roofing projects being associated with their services.
So this is roughly.
Pardon me?
So we'll have these 02 and 03 would be fewer and fewer.
Would be smaller.
Smaller.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking. So you've got a budgeted number. You've got a number of items that you've identified the numbers. So 25, 26,000 between these other two is not out of realm of possibility.
No. And I just wanted to comment also as I run through these project numbers here, there's also a number in there of approximately $20,000 to do a masonry analysis. That would be part of that figure also. So I'm thinking we should do it this year because we've done parking lot assessments, paving, roofs, all the different types of professional services that we've engaged over the past 3 or 4 years. This would sort of be the last remaining one. I mean, we've done electric studies. We've reviewed and analyzed our boilers, our air conditioning needs, and so forth. So this is probably the last major analysis that we need to put together a plan as we move forward. As you know, this past summer we did some masonry work over at Franklin. Because about the top 20 or 22 rows of brick on the northeast corner of that building were actually beginning to move, and they had moved about a half an inch off of their original sort of center point where they were where they were to be located. So we had to move that whole sort of northeast corner of the the Franklin building.
Who identified that?
Well, I was walking past the building one day, and I'm looking up there, and observing masonry, and I just happened to notice, my God, look at that, you know, the way that thing has moved. So I immediately called the architects and our director of buildings and grounds. They came out, we took a look at it, and we noticed, yeah, there was something not right there. And that's what started the whole conversation. It probably happened about a year ago at this time. It was just something we happened to come upon. As I say, I frequently will walk the exterior of our buildings, and I look for things like that. And I just happened to catch it. It's above the sills on the second floor of that building. It was just something that did happen to catch my eye. It's one of those things. So I'd like to take a little bit more professional approach instead of just sort of an eyeball.
And this, the 22,000 would do that?
That would begin the process. What that will do is that will identify issues that currently exist in our buildings, and then we would need to put together a program plan. And I just essentially found this issue at Franklin. I've noticed it at Hadley. I've noticed a little bit at Franklin. We have some at Forest Glen. Franklin has some. Let's see what I missed. Churchill. Mm-hmm. They all have a little bit. But I'm noticing the bigger projects right now seem to be around Franklin and around Hadley.
Okay. Well, I was a little confused because it says DC Engineering will be doing analysis, but in the contract it says the architect.
What it says is that the architect, well, here. The intention of it is that the architect will hire DC Engineering to complete the work on our behalf. The estimated fees for $22,000 is what DC has submitted as an estimate for the initial phase of the work. DC Engineering has done a number of, is actually the structural engineer for the district. We've used them. We use them for all of our summer capital projects. We used them a couple of years ago when we had flooding issues here. We have our civil engineer, which is Erickson Engineering, that we use for all of our stormwater and all the other surface work that we do. We have DC Engineering, which does our structural analysis, and then they all actually report to FGM. So that's who actually contracts out for them to do the work on our behalf. So I talked briefly about 03. 04 is just something that we do every year, and that is the mobile classroom inspections. That's $4,500. The roof evaluations I do annually just to make sure that we're always on top of it. That's $1,500. Then we have, as I stated earlier, the masonry evaluation by DC Engineering.
Who's the contractor that does the roof work?
The roof work? Well, we don't have. Who does the actual inspection? Out. It's all bid out.
Oh, okay.
That's bid out.
That's bid out. The inspections themselves
are. We're bidding out $1,500.
No.
I'm saying if we had a big roofing project, would be bid out.
Who did our inspection? Who's
doing the inspection?
They have a roofing expert that works for FGM.
Oh, so it's done in-house. By FGM. Okay.
Correct. Not something like the masonry work. That they'll sum out to a specialist, a structural engineer. But the roofing inspections, FGM employs someone that goes around.
Fair.
That's someone on staff that specializes
in roofing. On staff people.
That's correct.
Okay.
So, as I've stated earlier, I typically budget approximately $135,000 for projects in any given year. That number has been built into this budget that was just recently approved, and I'll be looking to move this recommendation forward at September 12th for discussion and October 11th for final approval.
For some reason, the number 75,000 was sticking in my mind as previous years, and so I was wondering if this 80,000 for the capital wasn't normal. It seemed like it was just 75K for just the normal architect of record stuff.
That's what we budgeted last year, exclusive of the work that was done in the courtyard area. That's what we have budgeted just this past year. Previously, the budgeted amount was about $135,000 because we didn't do as much work last year as we do typically. We did about $550,000, $600,000 worth of work, where typically we might do $1 million, $1.2 million or more in a given year. So $75,000 is what I budgeted last year for the summer work that was completed last summer. We had the big project, which was the Hadley Addition. And then we had something under $500,000 for the summer capital work that we did also. Mm-hmm. And that's where the $75,000 figure came in.
Okay. Did the Hadley costs then were a part of that project separate from our $75,000 contract with FGM?
That's correct.
So if you put those together, probably it would have at least exceeded. Probably
it
135.
But if you would do the parking lot,
you would make that a part of it.
You would be part of that, so the 81,000 would go into that group, and then the number would be smaller.
Whatever else we need them to complete this year, we would that would be in addition to the 81,000. They're figuring a very base of sort of a bare bones. I won't say bare bones, but their fee for designing something like the parking lot and participating in the stormwater process is probably around $81,000. That's their best estimate at this time.
I know at the policy committee we had talked a little bit about the process for selecting the architect.
For reviewing.
And I know that was something that I know I indicated I'd like to see. Is there any scorecard or anything related to that we can look at as part of this agreement?
No, I didn't think that's what the policy asked us to do. I thought the policy asked us to report to you annually if we were satisfied with our service professionals, architects being one of them. And that as long as we were satisfied, there was no...
You're right. That's what the policy
So
says.
we didn't develop any procedures that would be a scorecard, nor did we even identify in the policy committee a direction for that to happen, or the criteria that would be kind of a scorecard, as you call it?
Well, I guess the criteria, I was interested, it's the criteria that are listed that can't evaluate or bid it out for dollars. Mm-hmm. There is a specific list of criteria that you are to use when you read them. And so that was just, you know, it's been how many years since we last got an architect record? I was saying, you know, 5 or 10 years, maybe a good time to go back, just look at those criteria and see how do we feel in these specific areas.
Mm-hmm. Did we didn't formalize that in any way with a procedure, did we, Dan? Or?
No, that was just
a
that I
interest.
Had, expressed an interest in.
Do you want the administration's opinion on those, or board members' opinion?
No, the administration.
You know, as I recall, I know for the auditors, we developed a procedure, and I think for the attorneys, we have not.
No, we do not have a procedure for attorney review.
Mm-mm.
We did for the auditors, because that's something that's clearly defined. They're going to come in, they're going to perform an audit at X number of dollars per year. Cut and dry. The architectural services are a little bit different because it's an ongoing process. Every year we identify certain, from our perspective, certain capital projects, and then their fees are based upon a percentage of what the approximate dollar values of those projects are.
I know what you're talking about, and maybe it's an issue of we need to, on an annual basis, you know, have a discussion, say that we're happy, and put it in the minutes, and then we've memorialized the issue.
Well, and if you like, what we could do is bring the policy back to Finance Committee, look at the criteria, because as I think about this too, Dan, we didn't change the policy. We were originally talking about would we create a professional services policy, which we chose not to do. So we just kept the architectural policy in place. We could bring that back and take a look at it as a committee to see if there's, you know, a rubric or something that we would create.
Yeah, I wasn't saying something every year, but
no,
it was
no,
more
I
like
understand,
on a
5
or 10 year basis, mm-hmm. do a little more than the proverbial thumbs up, just something that shows, hey, you know, we want to mm-hmm. know that we're doing a little, you know, review every so mm-hmm. often, not on an annual. So
and I think FGM has probably been with us.
Some level.
Right.
Show 2003.
That
we are
very
diligent in our duty of the oversight.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do we...
Well, why don't you... And I don't think we'll be able to bring it back at our next finance meeting, but because we just need to get school up and running a little bit.
Is it something that we should send back to go... Should
well,
we
I
send
think,
a request to go back to policy? The finance would like to formalize the procedure?
Well, the procedure would have to be done administratively, so really giving us the charge
okay.
would be probably the best way to do it, because if we construct a procedure, it'll go into policy, it'll follow through policy committee, but
okay.
procedures are not required to be board adopted. So why don't,
okay.
if that's what you'd like us to do, is to go back and look at that criteria and bring some suggestions to you.
Okay. I'm not saying that I have no complaints. I don't have.
No, no, I understand what you're saying.
I'm just thinking.
And I understand what Dan's saying. A periodic review in a little more formalized way.
And if we run it through the either finance or through the board,
mm-hmm.
then there's going to be no doubt that we
mm-hmm.
we looked at it. We put some eyes.
Yeah. Let us take a look at the policy and see what makes sense. And a rubric, we'll have to think about how a rubric would look in those criteria. But we'll certainly take a look at it and bring back something to you.
And what would be the timing?
Well,
I'm just looking relative to this. Ideally, it'd be something before we, you know, finalize this.
Well, I guess, Dan, I would suggest that the two are not related, because we've already given you the thumbs up, so to speak, for the services we receive from our architects. And that was the spirit of that policy agreement, was that not to annually go out and say we have to interview, but to annually say, are we pleased with the services of our
of our architects, which we are. Now, following that, you know, you're saying, could we have a more formal review? I don't think we could have a rubric created for you by the next finance meeting in order for you to do a formal review and not let it go on to board discussion and that sort of thing. So I'm not sure. I mean, if there was a mandate or a direction from the board for us to do that, from policy committee to the whole board, I apologize. I didn't get that.
What is the time frame for our deadlines for finalizing this?
Well, it would go to discussion on September and then the first meeting of October. Assuming we're not having a second meeting of September, it would go first meeting of October.
Dictates, is there a state requirement that dictates that timeline?
No, that's just how our process. Our process is three meetings. Come to finance, go to board discussion, and go to board for action.
I guess I meant the FGM contract renewal itself.
The issue with the FGM contract renewal is, and that's why I've tried to, I've broken it apart from capital projects over the past couple of years. We bring the contract renewal to you first, like we did last year, and then we bring you a recommendation for capital projects. The reason this is such a key issue now is because I need to engage them as we move forward to development of the Hadley parking lot and stormwater. This is of a very sensitive time frame nature. We're going to need to engage the Village of Glen Ellyn, the City of Wheaton, as well as DuPage County, and go through all their application and permitting process to make sure that we coordinate these activities with the Village of Glen Ellyn when they're doing the revamping, reconstruction of half Hawthorne from Glenbard West over to Glen Cove. That's what makes this time sensitive.
If the board approves, moving
forward.
If the
board were to approve, right.
So if we were to put together a more subjective evaluation of them between now and the next board meeting, is that something that... I think to develop a rubric, first of all, I don't see the criteria in my head right now, so knowing what will need to be done in terms of creating that rubric and the specificity of it, I just would hate to say that in the next 2 weeks we can put together a rubric that we think is, you know, the right kind of rubric to assess them. And if you're asking that's an assessment that you're using periodically, I think we weren't under the impression that we were required to do a periodic formal assessment of the architects to renew their contract for this year. So I don't recall having any direction to do that.
No, and it's just something that, you know, this triggers my mind. Hey, I remember talking about this. And so that's why I'm asking and trying to understand the time deadlines. I mean, I guess there's no state deadlines, so it's just a matter of our timing for
engaging.
But you do have to have an architect record. I mean,
well,
it's different than the auditors'
deadline notes
and the lawyers. There's no law, right?
Right.
We have to have an architect record. I don't see substantially any difference, you know, between the large architectural firms that handle the grade schools. I mean, there could be, but not enough day to day that, you know, that the effort we're going to put into this. I don't see a cost savings.
Well, I think that's why, you know, last year when you look at the dollar figure we had this, but I thought it didn't include summer capital project. I thought it was just the day to day, you know, just little on-home side efforts.
Which is why this one has no cost associated with some of the project. The only cost it has is the Hadley project, and as Bob explained, this is engaging our architects as the architect of record, but it would also be engaging them if the board chooses to move forward with the Hadley project, that we would have them engaged, and you would be aware of what those costs look like they would be. Now, if the board chooses to not engage in that contract, then that contract would be amended to reflect that. Obviously, just pull that out. But they coincide with each other a little differently than last year's contract, which was general engagement, summer projects, and the year before as well, because we had the Hadley project, so it's a little different. So this is a little different simply by the nature of the timeline of that Hadley parking lot.
That's why the last meeting I brought you a report on what the Hadley parking lot and stormwater project would would at least initially cost as we know it as of today. I thought I would start that process off, which we did last meeting. That is now up for discussion in term or to the board to see if the board has some general consensus. Yes, we'd like you to move forward with that because I need to start the engineers, Erickson Engineering, they need to start their initial work because this is all of a very time-sensitive nature so that we can coordinate the activities with the Village of Glen Allen, their contractors, and then the City of Wheaton.
So, Dan, let me ask you a question. Is this just a general procedural kind of area that you're interested in seeing coordinated, or do you have a specific concern or something that's in either this engagement contract or something else that's concerning you? Is there anything behind the concern, the questions?
Just looking for more rigorous, periodic, every 5-10 years or whatever, review, and then ideally seeing it timed around the renewal, mm-hmm. so that at that time you could say, yeah, it still looks good,
mm-hmm.
or that's why we're asking you to renew it, or mm-hmm. now we've done a review and not so good, so now that's why we want to go out and do the annual notice.
You know, I almost think it's kind of an interesting piece in terms of timing, because if we do it at the time of the renewal, we'll actually be, that's too late.
It is.
Because we would need to engage an architect, do the interviewing process and all that stuff. So maybe the timing should be end of June or something like that, even though we haven't done our summer projects yet.
Maybe that's why, I think I envision this more of a procedural thing,
mm-hmm.
Whatever the time interval is,
mm-hmm.
Let's put it on, put it on the, I don't know what you call it, but you want to.
We have a spreadsheet that we maintain, and I would suggest that this would probably be something, this review process would probably, we would probably have it sometime in the spring.
Okay.
Because otherwise we're not going to have enough time to react to issues like this time of year, because now, we just finished this summer. Believe it or not, it's already time to start thinking
right.
ahead and get those things resolved. If we want to implement this type of matrix or review procedure, it should probably take place in the springtime.
It's kind of an interesting dilemma in the sense that if you do your review in the spring and you're not really all that happy, you've already engaged them to do your summer projects. If you do it in the fall, after the summer projects have been completed, you're going to delay your
next summer's project.
Well, potentially. So maybe it's late summer review, so that if you were going to engage, you would do it in September, hire a new architect to be ready to prepare your work for October, November. Does that make sense?
I think that's too tight of a time frame. I think if we were going to move through this process, then I would say springtime
mm-hmm.
would be a review of their services for the past year, because if we're going, and it's a tough situation, we might be making a recommendation that we would maintain their services, and yet we've already engaged them for the current summer's project.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just something we have to work through.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it may be a little more complex than we originally thought. How about, Dan, if we bring back some ideas to finance next time we're here, we meet, and just see what we come up with.
You said some ideas mm-hmm. in terms of procedurally how it can be structured.
And I think one of the strong points that we should be made really is, how we feel as though the services that FGM has provided over the past couple of years, and that every project has come in on time and under budget. I think that's
mm-hmm.
I think that's a very strong selling point right mm-hmm. there.
But that would be in that rubric.
Yeah,
absolutely. So
if nothing more, if it was just memorialized through the process, it's somewhat subjective because you haven't gone through the numbers, but I think that would be good for the procedural standpoint.
So, well, let's see what we can. We've got the opening of schools is 24 hours away, with a lot of work yet to be done this week. So, let me see what we can come up with. I can't promise anything in terms of what will be available at the next finance meeting, but we'll certainly work towards putting something together over the next couple of weeks in terms of, I guess, almost like a satisfaction survey. Are we happy with the services that have been provided?
And I don't want to, it's not something new. It's based on that policy. There's
right.
a specific list of the items. So
right.
as, you know, if you just looked at those and that was right. it, that would be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That, it's a starting point.
Right.
I can go in there then and I'll take a look at those things now and or this week, hopefully, and see what we can bring back. Now, unless I hear something different, I would still march to the recommendations that we're going to bring this in September to the board for discussion and then action at a following meeting, unless I hear something different. Okay?
One last comment. Mm-hmm. The only thing that didn't make sense to me when I was reviewing that masonry evaluation was they had a line in there that said they were going to review a record drawing of the original building foundation.
If we can find you.
That procedure itself, I guess, didn't make. I didn't get why that's part of a masonry evaluation.
Well, it's part of any structural analysis in terms of how the buildings were originally constructed. I won't say it's related directly to a masonry analysis, but an overall structural analysis in terms of how the buildings were created, where the steel is set, where the walls are set. I mean, those are all important criteria when you're reviewing anything structural. So I would say that's just part of the normal review process that would be necessary for them to make an educated and accurate assumption.
And then you know what's behind it.
Yeah.
You're going to do something. You know, they see a problem and they're like, what are our options? You know, knowing what's behind it may eliminate an option.
Well, that's what I was saying. I guess I would see it as more of after you review, you know, kind of like a home inspector goes through, I see a crack here, why? Oh, it's this.
I mean,
it just sounded like review all the drawing. It just sounded like a lot of work unnecessary.
I would say this is completely different than a home inspection. You know, we're talking about things that were required as administrators or the keepers of assets in the community, as well as the laws, the rules and regulations that we're bound by. Any architect or engineer, or for that matter, someone sitting in my seat, is always going to want to review all the documents that are available before we make a proposal. To give you an example, when we were doing this little project over at Franklin this year, we just happened to be walking by and noticed that the bricks had slipped a half an inch. Before, they were willing to make any recommendations in terms of the work that needed to be done this past summer. They wanted to see original sets of construction, all the modifications that have been made through renovations over the years. I mean, they just don't go in and sort of casually look at something. I mean, there's a lot of study and a lot of analysis that goes behind their recommendations.
Yeah, how much do you think would he say? I mean, when you say that this is unnecessary, that's unnecessary, you know, given all these storms we've had and other things, you know, something happens, and we said, well, no, we inspected that a year or two ago, but no, we didn't want to spend $5,000 to actually look at the drawings or something.
The professional said,
what we normally do.
Right. Maybe it's just not clear to me. It didn't. To me, I read it as you review the exterior and then you review all the drawings. I didn't read it as you review it. If you find a problem, then you dig into the drawings.
So your issue is with the way they stated the process?
It was just, yeah, it was just unclear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So if you have any other comments, just let me know and we'll do our best to address them. The next item for discussion this evening is the Hadley Auditorium sound system replacement. As you know, we have an agent obsolescence plan that's been created for a number of years that go out there. The Hadley stage has been an issue or an area that was identified a number of years ago when we began to assemble that agent obsolescence plan. And we have had a number of issues with the lighting and sound system over at the Hadley Auditorium for a number of years. No one really knows exactly how old things are over there, but we're thinking somewhere between 15 and 20 years old. I do know that the auditorium itself is used by a number of in-district and out-of-district users.
We use it for graduations, concert plays, talent shows. I mean, and it just goes on, as well as a lecture hall or a place for teachers to present to students. So I met with these folks probably starting. Well, first of all, we've been working with them since 2008. We spend about between $5,000 and $7,000 annually to bring them in to provide us sort of a stopgap measure for sound and lighting that we use annually at the stage place that we have. That's what it costs us just to go out and rent equipment, because the equipment that's existing now is older, just really can't meet the requirements that really should be in place. So because we have a working relationship with these folks, I've met with them over the period of probably a year and asked for their recommendations in terms of what they thought would be the most appropriate way to enhance the performance level of that facility. And we came up with some pretty round numbers in terms of what our projections might be, because I discussed with them I need to incorporate this in capital projects. And basically what they're telling us is the sound system is about $38,000. And an integration and installation of a lighting and dimming control system, around $125,000. A lot of money. So I thought that I would implement this over a couple of years, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever the case may be, but we would have to do it in blocks so as not to commit too many dollars at any one time, but still be able to make a significant, be able to...
Improve.
Nice simple word. Be able to improve what we're currently doing there. So what we've done is we've put together the plan for this year. The plan is to upgrade the sound system. The estimated cost of $38,000. This has been built into the budget for this fiscal year that we're currently in. And my thoughts were, because of the dollar significance here, that we should, at least I was going to engage the services of this sound expert, and we would probably create bid documents and then go out to bid for the installation of this particular project. I don't see any way around of not bidding it, considering our dollar threshold. I think that we would, that's the best way to approach this project. I'd like to get started on that soon, and just kind of looking for a consensus here amongst the Finance Committee, if you think this is something that we can garner support on from the board and move forward with.
Bob, my only question is, if you're doing this in tranches instead of doing it all at once, are you kind of washing one hand every year with it?
Well, I tried to separate it out between sound and lighting. And that's the best way. That was their recommendation. If you can't do it all in 1 year, or just physically aren't able to do it all in 1 year, break it out in chunks. And so the chunks that we decided to go with, again, were sound and then the lighting improvements. Lighting is substantially more expensive, but this is what we thought we could do for this current year.
So what you want to do this year is the 38?
The 38.
Okay.
I guess I need to understand what was in all this. The sound includes speakers, amps, wireless mics for 10 people on stage, blah, 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 blah.
Steve, I can give you the complete...
I mean, it's $38,000 by itself.
I understand.
And I think it would need to come back with all that specificity.
Yeah.
The question is, are we supportive of beginning to do an improvement program for the Hadley Auditorium, which is sorely in need of.
And I will tell you, Steve, I have a
feeling.
It's the same stuff when you and I were there.
Oh, I don't know, but I'm saying that the high schoolers' musicals are a little more sophisticated, and their mics suck.
Well, I know Ann and I have been to a couple of those presentations that are given in the spring, and they're really phenomenal in terms of what the junior high gets. Put together.
Oh right, yeah, and they're getting a lot sophisticated too, and I think they rented some headsets and stuff, which the fidelity and the dynamic range was much better. That's the problem at Glombard. It sounds like it's just compressed.
Yeah.
It's not the dynamic range. You don't get everything.
And I do have an itemized list of what's entailed in not only this $38,000 but the $125,000. I did not put it in this packet because I'm just looking for. Do I have support?
The bigger picture.
Are we using the disco ball?
I like that.
Of course. Well, and I would highlight also that any long-range plans we would make for facility work would include further work in that auditorium, whether it remains a junior high or something else. So being able to replace things like lighting and sound would be good at this point, because it kind of lengthens the life of that, but it's not anything that would be dismantled either, you know. Plus, it's all things that are movable.
These are portable. So if we were, and I don't know what would ever happen with the master facility plan, but let's say that auditorium would be moved, this equipment would move with it.
Well, how much of this is product versus
product.
Installation?
Labor.
Yeah. The labor. I mean, it's just like 90% of it's really the product, that if something were done in there, we
yeah.
just reuse it versus
right.
It's
not construction, right.
Yeah.
I can't say if it's 90%, but it's
whatever. I'm
saying portion.
It's the majority of it is things that can be reused no matter
right.
what might come up in the next few years.
That's yeah. correct.
Okay. Who puts together the bid documents?
Well, I will tell you that this would be the first one I've done for a sound system. I would use the services of Kinesthetic Inc. that we use currently. I don't know for a fact if I would or not, but maybe the architects would get involved in that a little bit. I would think that we would probably create the bid docs as best we can internally and have the attorneys review them. I might even engage this young man's services who does the current work with us.
Well, we probably would talk to the people who are using the auditorium. You know, that there's some expertise that we've been working with a musical, and now we'll be having a fall play this year for the first time, and so what, you know, we'd probably look to them too, what kinds of needs they have, and then try to build the specs around that to some extent. So there'd probably be some internal expertise.
I was just trying to get a, you know, beating the full cost drum, so just
mm-hmm.
trying to understand what the full dollar amount.
Well, as I said, the dollar amount for the equipment and installation is what I've indicated here. Now, we're talking about bid document creation. You know, I said there wasn't any. Now that I think a little bit deeper at it, there might be attorney review fees or something along those lines. But I don't anticipate them being of a significant nature.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking, you kind of mentioned that. Yeah, so that's what I was kind of anticipating, is usually that.
And I don't know that I would engage your services. I'm thinking out loud here and thinking that might be, you know, a next step. But I don't know about that yet.
So at the September 12th meeting is when we first see that in greater detail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell you not to get more detail. That's fine.
Right.
What you propose.
Go for it.
Yeah, this is really the big picture.
Yes, I think I don't see a reason you wouldn't do this.
Okay, then the final item on the Finance Committee this evening is creation of a District Finance Advisory Committee. And I understand this is a conversation among Finance Committee members. So I'll sit.
Well, I'll introduce the context for it. We have for many, many years talked about whether or not a finance committee, advisory committee, would be something we would want to form here. And we've struggled with purpose and felt that if you're going to bring together an advisory committee, they have to have a very definitive purpose with a beginning, middle, and end. And as you know, we've had many committees that have been advisory committees that have functioned just like that, the master facilities, the boundary, that sort of thing. And so we wondered in some of our discussions whether or not having a financial advisory committee that could help us sort of as a think tank as much as anything, look at our funding, how we're making our long-range financial plans, where we're placing our priorities, how we're making those decisions, and serve as a kind of a sounding board back to that, as well as bring expertise that they may have in other fields to that conversation. We'd see it as probably, you know, a year task or 8 months task, something like that, where the charge would be to help us identify the priorities that we need to pay attention to in the five-year plan and have strategies for cost containment's maybe not the right word, but expenditure planning for that. So that was just, it was an idea we were tossing around, thought maybe given the state of finances in the state and some of the other challenges, we know that our five-year plan, that gap gets smaller and smaller and smaller between what we have spend and what we take in revenues. So that's a discussion for you, and just a thought on our part.
I'm all for it. I think if you want a specific charge above and beyond the think tank concept, and I would say that we should address the questionable nature of state and federal funding and how that impacts our district and how we can mitigate these issues. And I think it's got to be at least a year project. And at that point, it could be an ongoing issue. Just if it really proves fruitful and beneficial, why wouldn't we continue the process and continue to get input from the community? I think this is an outstanding way to engage with the community, and you're engaging with people that theoretically have a very keen financial mind that can think through complex concepts and maybe come up with some really good ideas. So I'm all for it. I guess my question to you, Ann, is this something that is need to go to the board for approval? How functionally, how would we move the process along?
Do you mind if I defer answering that until we hear what Steve and Dan?
Okay, I'm sorry.
But that's a great question because it's a very important next question.
I'm all for new, better ways of community engagement, especially if we can get participants that are experts in their field much more than me. I won't speak for Drew because he's a banker here on the board. I just see it as, a positive way to get, expertise, also a community engagement. I guess I hadn't thought of it as a year thing. I'm not quite sure what that would be. I know does the village do a periodic, I don't know how often they meet, but I think that's more like a periodic committee. I guess that's in my mind when I saw this on the agenda. That's what I was thinking. But I'd be curious to hear more about what that means, if there's a deeper dive for a period versus a, mm-hmm. a periodic.
Oh, yeah. I engaged with Randy Parker that was chairing the village's finance committee. I think there was a little different nature of what they were doing because there didn't really exist something like PMA and what they provide to school districts mm-hmm. in terms of comparisons and other things and the way villages comparing them have different services. I think one thing they first did was just try to make comparisons with other communities they felt were, good. Had like similarities to Glen Allen. I think we have a lot of information, so I don't know if you're tasking someone to do that, on just the financial side. We've talked about folks that do comparisons on the educational side and the financial mm-hmm. side and the demographic mm-hmm. side and things like that, which is a little more interdisciplinary. I don't have a problem with it, but I don't think we want people to be on the finance committee. We're elected to do that already. I don't think we don't allow any engagement. Anyone wants to come here. I think it's just more trying to force somebody in the community to engage with us by putting them on a committee or asking them to be. They can come here and ask any questions they want. I'm not flooded with questions to the board about our finances, you know, email questions or otherwise. So I can't say we don't engage people, but this is actively trying to get somebody on a board or on a committee to look at things and give it some perspective, I guess. I don't think we're doing things wrong that we need somebody to come in and help us as much. I mean, I think it's good to, you know, get some people educated in more detail that maybe weren't, that have another background they can bring to school district finances. But yeah, as long as the charter for it is, you know, something we all agree on, it's a good task. I don't have a problem with it.
And I just want to clarify Steve's point. I don't think there's an issue that needs to be fixed. I don't think we're doing anything wrong. I think we're doing wonderful work. I think everything is moving along in the appropriate way. I just don't see any harm in trying to engage, you know, outside of the context of of the board setting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate the comments, especially the ones that we're doing a good job and we're not doing anything wrong. And I think we feel that way too. But as things become more challenging and more demanding financially, and we have strong educational priorities, I think one comment that Steve made that I think is really important is that we are making sure that our educational priorities are part of that conversation, that it's not an isolated, here's what you can do to, you know, save $6 million somewhere, but that we're talking, you know, educating a group of people around our educational priorities. And because that is really, for us, the important thing, is that our focus on our learning priorities drive our budgets. Our long-range plan and what we're trying to achieve is that which is the overview for our budget. So now when you think about that and people have a chance to weigh in on that or provide their insights, can they offer us insights that we don't currently have from another perspective? And I think it's an opportunity to both engage, educate, and learn from, you know. And the reason I guess I would say a year is that we may have an outcome that are some new processes we could implement. We wouldn't necessarily need then a group to stay engaged with us while we're implementing those procedures, but maybe come back to us in, you know, 3 years, whatever, as check-ins, maybe, you know, an invitation to an annual check-in or something like that. But I think we're looking at just engaging for those three reasons: education, engagement, and insights that may be helpful to us. You asked the question of what would this. I do think the whole board has to be in support of it, because it really won't be a finance committee alone. I mean, really, the board has to agree to it, and it may be something we could talk about at the September 5th workshop. But we didn't want to take it a step further if the finance committee had some perspectives that, you know, we thought would be significant. You would have two choices in terms of charging or developing a committee. One, and we talk about this every time we engage in a public way, one is that it's an administrative committee, which means you don't have to post and you don't have to have it held as a formal open meeting. You can, you know, post it and have it open, but it doesn't have to go through the formal processes that board committees have to go through. Or it's a board committee, and then you post it as a meeting, like we did with visioning. Visioning, that was a board-commissioned activity, and so we posted it and had to open it like a meeting every time we had a meeting.
master facilities was a...
Administrative.
Administrative.
It's a much less cumbersome approach, equally transparent, just less formalized in its approach. So, but that's something the board would decide, and part of that may be symbolism, you know, if it's a symbolic gesture or something. So, bring it to the September 5th.
Do you have any thoughts one way or the other on the advisory committee?
Well, I've had them in other districts, and typically what it is myself, superintendent, a couple of board members, and a couple of community members that are interested or have special expertise in finance. It'd be great if they had educational finance, but that's not always typical to find someone that has that professional background. But usually it's just a group that sits around, and maybe I present the five-year financial plan. And that in itself can generate questions and answers, and then we just continue to dig into the work. I don't know that this is the type of committee that would say, okay, these are our expectations, this is what we'd like to see put together the next time we get together. I think this is just more about engagement and input and trying to explain district finances, and also here are the comments regarding the community or from the community regarding finances for the district.
Yeah, I like your idea of the think tank. I think that's brilliant. It's very good.
Well, we'll see what others think about it, and try to sharpen the perspective on what it might be.
Okay, any other comments or business you'd like to discuss this evening? If not, then we would conclude the Finance Committee meeting with the board meeting soon to follow. Okay? Thank you.
Good job.